You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
So, hun, like Ross and Rachel, we're on a little break.
But not really.
Not really.
Right? We're truly like Ross and Rachel.
Were they on a break?
Never.
We don't know.
I'm not on a break, even though we're calling it a break.
Well, so this is like a really small break, you guys. We're just going to recalibrate for season 13, which is coming up.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to celebrate Women's Empowerment Month.
And Women's History Month.
And Women's History Month.
And we're actually going to, the first episode you're going to hear is the first On My Nightstand that we released almost 1 year ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a special one.
Happy birthday, On My Nightstand.
Uh-huh.
And then for Women's Empowerment Month, we're re-releasing Sophia Rose.
Man, that's a fan favorite.
Right? She's the only fat over 40 Latina porn star. What?
Uh-huh. You go, girl. And the Scott Talks.
And the Scott Talks.
On the following day.
We have another great re-release for On My Nightstand. That's Wednesday by Robin Reiser.
That's a great one.
It's a tearjerker.
Mm-hmm.
And then Women's History Month re-release, we have Dolores Robinson.
She's the best storyteller.
Oh, my goodness. The only octogenarian living her best life, and she is.
And she's got some stories to tell.
Yes, she does. And then we're going to round off the break with Jill Sherry Robinson. No relation to Dolores.
They couldn't be more different other than they're great storytellers.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Jill is the only one that lost her memory. And she has all those great old Hollywood stories, hon.
Right on. Yeah, they're wonderful stories.
I mean, we were just like, we stopped the interview and like, just tell us stories.
I know. I still think we should do a whole episode of her just telling stories.
Yeah, maybe one day we will. But that's what we have for you during the break. We really hope you enjoy it. And we will see you again in season 13. Lucky 13.
We love 13.
Yes, we do. So enjoy the break, enjoy these re-releases, and enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
I am Jill Sherry Robinson, and I am the only one who has lost her memory. Sometimes what we call catastrophe can turn out to be what, as a Jew, I call a mitzvah. That this gave me a gift of being able to be understanding and patient with words, by helping other people who were younger and more vulnerable and hadn't written as many books as I had. But it all started coming back. It was in there somewhere.
I'm probably one of the few people I know who still looks forward to my Sunday newspaper. Not a digital copy that I read on my phone, but the real finger-staining, loud-crinkling, section-by-section newspaper. The Sunday paper for me is a treat to be enjoyed while lounging in bed and sipping hot lemon water. So one day when we were going through all of the Only One stories that are being submitted to us, thank you for those, by the way. We love reading them. It was Scott's idea to record and release a few of them occasionally, but always on Sundays, and call them our Sunday edition. And because they're only 30 minutes long, our hope is that you can enjoy them while sipping your morning beverage, going for a walk, or even just enjoying a lazy Sunday at home. Please enjoy today's Sunday edition and be sure to listen every Tuesday when we drop another brand new episode of The Only One in the Room. Jill Sherry Robinson, it's so wonderful to have you with us. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm delighted to be here. It's exciting.
Oh. So since you are, and we'll hear more about this, someone who hails from the golden age of Hollywood, I wondered, what was your first celebrity kiss?
When I kissed Tarquin Olivier, who was a Laurence Olivier's son.
Mm.
And we were in the about the fourth grade.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. When I kissed Tarquin Olivier, who was Laurence Olivier's son, and he was ravishing. And we were in the fourth grade. But we knew about that stuff. We knew what glamour was.
Right, right. Oh, that's wonderful. I love that. Thank you so much. I am Laura Cathcart Robbins, and this is the only one in the room. But I am never the only one in this room because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hi, honey.
Hey, honey.
Hi. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
So, Hun, today we have someone extremely special with us.
This is so cool.
Yes. This is Jill Sherry Robinson. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about her. She was born in Los Angeles, the daughter of two artists. Her father was Oscar and Tony Award winning, Tony Award winner, Dory Sherry, who was the head of MGM during the 40s and 50s. He was the only writer to ever run a film studio, Hun.
Wow.
That's incredible, right? And then her mom, her mother, was the painter M. Svet. Is that how you pronounce it, Jill?
Yeah.
Okay. And she studied at the Art Students League in New York. So this is back to Jill. During the 60s, she wrote on revolutionary women's issues for Cosmopolitan, covered political trials for the Soho Weekly News. Her first memoir, With a Cast of Thousands, was a runaway hit. And during the late 50s and 60s, she also interviewed political and film personalities on KPFK and had a talk show on KLAC. So Jill was given a lifetime grant. You got that, honey? A lifetime grant in 2005. To develop the nonprofit Wimpole Street Writers Program, which continues in London and Los Angeles, where she has run workshops for the Veterans Administration, working with veterans with PTSD, encouraging them to release stories they fear to tell. She also hosts workshops twice a week for all writers, including playwrights and screenwriters. The only rule she has when they arrive to do this work is no pages, no dinner.
<That's great. laughs>
So our friend Levy Lee Simon.
Shout out to Lee.
has been attending Jill's workshop for years. So Jill, my next question for you is, does Lee always get dinner? Does he always have his pages?
Well, he always has fantastic pages. Nobody gets dinner now because of
COVID. Yes.
Zoom.
Yes, yes.
And so I've tried to figure out putting little, you know, cookies and things on the edge of the computer, but it doesn't quite work that way.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. It just
that's a lovely effort, though. I do want to thank Levy Lee Simon because
he's the
one who connected me with you and Scott with you, and he just could not say enough about what you've meant in his life and who you are. So
I love him.
Yeah, we love him too. And for our listeners, Levy Lee is one of our episodes as well. We re-released it in December, but he was released originally in June. What was it called? Do you remember, Hun?
Oh, it was Conversations on Race.
Conversations on Race, mm-hmm. Yes. So, Jill, I couldn't believe this when we were talking because you're so active and you're working and you have so much going on, but you are 84 years old right now, right?
Yeah.
I love you so much. You just have so much on the ball. And I just want to say, as a side note, I have always been, since I can remember, a huge I Love Lucy fan. And I remember watching your Philip Ober playing your dad on I Love Lucy, which is just crazy to me. And apparently your dad turned down that role to play himself, right?
That's what I think, although I remember seeing a cut of it at one point where I think he was there. That's always been an issue.
Ah.
I'm not sure exactly what really happened there, but I know I've seen him with Lucy because he knew her.
Oh, that's so cool. So I do want to talk about growing up in the golden age of Hollywood, but I want to start with something that really impacted me when you told me this story. And it was a story about you going to church with Loretta Young, who was a really beautiful, famous actress in the 40s and 50s. And she had a daughter whose name was Judy, who was a friend of yours. And Judy didn't know this at the time, but she was Clark Gable's daughter, which would have been a big scandal because I think Clark Gable was married at the time that Judy was conceived. So it was kind of kept a secret even from Judy. But you guys were friends, and tell me the story of going to church with Loretta and Judy.
Well, it was an overnight. I wasn't usually allowed to go on overnights, but it was an overnight, and I was excited because I loved movie star lingerie, and bedding was always so beautiful, and Loretta was beautiful, and I loved Judy. She was smart, and she was funny, and there's so many stories. But in any case, I went to church. I'm Jewish and very much. It was a Catholic church, and I admired the Catholic churches tremendously. They had beautiful art, and there was just so much wonderful music. And so then the priest rang a bell, and I thought it was an alarm that there was a Jew in the church and that I'd be crucified. Because I was about 13. Mm. And the next thing I knew, I woke up in Loretta's bed, and I apparently had had a seizure.
Right.
And I couldn't remember where I was or how I got there.
Wow.
And I wasn't allowed to go on overnights ever again as a kid.
Did they think it was an epileptic fit? Is that what they discovered? Did they diagnose it then?
They didn't diagnose it then, I did not know that.
Okay.
And I think that was one of the reasons that the school was told I wasn't allowed to get excited by competitive stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because they were afraid that you might have another, yeah.
And in those days, this is important to understand, in those days, epilepsy was like having typhoid or something.
Right.
It was scary. It was scary for kids.
Well, and also, you know, before the 30s and 40s and 50s, people with epilepsy were thought to be possessed by the devil. Like, they were said to be cursed.
Oh, I never heard that.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Right. So there's this stigma around it. So, of course, I'm sure people wanted to protect you from that stigma. We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
So now we're going to jump ahead in time, way ahead in time, I think to the year 1990.
Yes.
Yes.
Can I perform this one to you?
Oh, please.
I'm awake. I'm not in the pool. I'm awake. There's a man sitting on my bed. This is a hospital bed. I can feel the iron rings. Excuse me, who are you? You've got beautiful blonde hair. Jill, my dear, my darling, I am your husband. Oh, but I'm not married now. Darling, we've been married for 10 years. I love you. You've had a grand mal seizure. And you will have lost your memory, I'm afraid. I said, but how did I get to England? And he said, well, you saw me at an AA meeting. And you fell in love with me, and I fell in love with you. And he said, I gave your father before he died, I gave him my word I would protect you with my life for the rest of your life. Mm. And I will, I shall. And I said, where did you leave the children? He said, darling, you've had the children quite a while before we met. They're in their 20s. Mm. And I said, how did I get that old? And I was disturbed by it. The next day, a man walked into the hospital room, and I said, well, you're very attractive. Who are you? And he said, darling, it's your husband. This is Stuart. And it took a while until they let him sleep overnight with me at the hospital at one point. Mm-hmm. And then I remembered who he was. He was a memorable character.
Yeah.
Then I had a contract for a book that I was supposed to finish. I said, I think I'm supposed to be doing something. He said, yes, darling, but we told them you might miss the deadline. And it's all right. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And so when I went home, you know, he took me home on Wimpole Street. We had a beautiful house, and we had young writers living with us, some of them who were young people in AA whose parents had been mad at them. And so we would take them on. We had a big house, and it was fun, and they made dinner and all this, except I said, well, I don't cook anymore. Mm-hmm. He said, darling, you made a great osso buco last night. I said, I don't remember that. So that days and time just skipped around. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I better get back to work on the book. Right. And first I couldn't find the pages. And then I looked at it, and I started writing something, and I could not remember the sentence that I'd felt strongly in my mind before I sat down. And Stuart took me to the doctor, and the doctor explained that because of the damage to both sides of my brain, I would find it difficult to write.
Mm. Well, so wait, Jill, I'm going to stop you just for a second there and just kind of fill in a little bit. Yeah. Because I think it's also really important. You've been sober for a really long time, longer than most people have been alive. And at that point, you had been sober for a long time as well, right?
Yeah. I'm sober 51 years.
Woo! 51 years. Scott's shaking his head over here. He's taking notes.
I'm 52 years old.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So you know, this might be something that would occur in someone who was drinking heavily and they blacked out and they wake up and they don't know where they are or what they've done. But this happened when you were years and years and years sober. And so because the first epileptic or, you know, the seizure had happened when you were so young, I'm sure you didn't trace it to that, right? That you weren't thinking.
No, because I didn't because in those days, they didn't tell me about it. I never knew I had it.
Right. Oh, okay.
And the reason that I got it, mm-hmm. and I learned about that, was that Stuart and I had a fight because I told him, because I'm a Hollywood person.
Yeah.
And I said when we got married, I told him, if you lose your looks, it's all over. You know that with me.
Honey.
And And he said, "Oh, absolutely, my darling." And then he started getting really chubby and he couldn't fit into his Ralph Lauren clothes. And so I called a magazine and I said, "Will you give to Travel and Leisure, Nancy Novograd gave an assignment to go to a spa for a weekend, you know, for a week or so, and write about the spa and our trip, and we'd start losing weight. We'd get in a better eating habit." So we did that, and then I opened his suitcase when we got there, and it was filled with chocolate bars. And I was furious, just furious. And so I jumped in the pool, and I swam, like, for 90 minutes very fast. Uh-huh. And the next thing I knew, I was in the hospital. So the damage in the brain, it gets generated, and if I get too upset or hysterical, mm-hmm. I can get a seizure. And I have minor ones every once in a while. I had to stop watching certain parts of the political situation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did too, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we all did.
Yep. It was good advice.
So the thing is that what my husband was working then, and he was, once in a while he'd have to travel, and mm-hmm. I was not supposed to travel for a while.
Yeah.
And so what we did, we had this big place, and we let it be known around the rooms that if you needed a place to stay and wanted free rent, you could stay with us, but you'd have to help me take care of the house, and you'd have to be protective of me.
Right. And when you say the rooms, you mean the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous?
No, the rooms of our house. And Stuart said, "It's going to be fine." He said, "What we're going to do is a lot of them want to write, too." Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people, young people, who want to write.
Right.
And he said, "What you're going to do is make it clear the only caveat is they must bring 3 pages double-spaced of something they have written in order to get dinner."
Right.
"And you will have to have 3 pages, too." I said, "But I can't write." Mm-hmm. He said, "Jill, you will write. I will give you an assignment, and you will write 3 pages. And you know it worked? And do you know what it gave me?
What?
It gave me the gift of being able to help other writers who are struggling and have stories they can't tell. And so sometimes what we call catastrophe can turn out to be what, as a Jew, I call a mitzvah.
Yes.
That this gave me a gift of being able to be understanding and patient with words by helping other people who were younger and more vulnerable and hadn't written as many books and things as I had before, but it all started coming back. It was in there somewhere.
What a wonderful thing your husband did for you after sitting with the doctor and hearing the trouble that you were going to have retrieving things.
It was an incredible, incredible insight. Stuart was so smart and so remarkable. Mm. And years later, we went to see his doctor because he was having trouble with the stairs and stuff. The doctor said, "I'm so sorry to tell you, Mr. Shaw, but I have to tell you, you do have a touch of Parkinson's disease." And so it turned out that I was able eventually to begin to take care of him.
Yeah.
And it was a great love story. I wrote the story, Falling in Love When You Thought You Were Through, because we both, being in the program, had quite adventurous lives mm-hmm. during the sexual revolution days.
Okay.
In any case, we wound up really taking beautiful care of each other.
I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah.
And so the tradition of people coming over, you know, obviously not during COVID because people no. aren't going anywhere, but prior to that, you continue that tradition.
Yes. And my son, who is a very successful agent in LA, in Beverly Hills, he's a wonderful guy. Mm. And he called me one day. He said, "Ma, it's time to come home." He said, "I know Stuart needs a place to be, and I can get him in the motion picture home."
Yes.
I said, but I'm not in the business, and neither is Stuart. He said, Mom, will you just stop it? I am. Because sometimes you, when you get older and your children are grown up, you forget to recognize where they really are now. They're not just your kid.
Right, right.
They're someone very special.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to reintroduce ourselves because we did move back to L.A. so he could be in the motion picture home and be cared for. We moved here in 2007.
Okay.
And it was wonderful. It was tough, mm-hmm. but it was incredible.
Yeah, the motion picture home is wonderful. They really are.
They really are. Yeah. It's true. Do you want to hear a Cary Grant story?
Yes, please.
Okay. We used to go to stay at Walter Houston's winter estate up in Arrowhead near Big Bear.
Okay.
And he had this beautiful old alpine house.
Mm.
And one day, and we were there one weekend, and I looked up at the balcony, and there was a bear on the balcony, a huge bear. And I was so scared.
Uh-huh.
And the bear started walking down the stairs. And the bear came over and was walking towards me. Suddenly, it whipped off its bear coat, and it was Cary Grant. and he was laughing, because some of the greatest stars were the ones who had great humor and great mm-hmm. sense of adventure. Would you like another one?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, Judy, my mother had told me the story about Judy being Clark Gable's daughter because in those days, and she told me when I was about 14, and she said, so you never, because I complained because I said, Mommy, you made her ears so big in the painting, because she was painting a picture of Judy.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother said, hush. And she said, I will tell you a story you're forbidden to tell anybody. So she told me the story that when you're grown up sometimes and you fall in love, sometimes a baby comes. And so Loretto had gone to a convent in Switzerland for 9 months and came back with a baby the nuns found in the snow.
Right.
And so I had never discussed it with Judy, never thought about it. And then one day, much later, I said, Judy, did you ever find out who your father was or hear? She said, you mean the Clark Gable story? I said, oh, yes. And she said, yes, she said, guess who told me? I said, I don't know. She said, the son of the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, well, of course it's an Oz story.
Right.
Because Hollywood was full of, and it kept its humor about a lot of the stories. You know, it was gossip and all that. But there was a sense of entertainment about the idea of being famous then.
Mm.
Because what people were careful about is really getting deep into hurtful things that couldn't be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a protection, a community among the stars, and particularly the stars in different studios, because there was competition between who's at whose studio
right.
and who's at what studio and
yeah,
so forth.
Because you were under contract at that time to a studio. You weren't free
yeah,
to go to any
exactly.
particular studio. Yeah.
And my dad, I think the reason he was so... He was a gentle, sweet man who was made fun of for making message pictures and stuff, but he was great.
Mm.
And I think the reason he was particularly loved was the fact that he never treated the stars like merchandise. And he understood the ones who had problems with booze and stuff because he'd understood that from, you know, parts of his family.
Right.
He just had a sensitivity that was way beyond that of most of the other executives. He
wow.
was great.
Wow.
He's a great guy.
I love hearing you talk about him. And
well, we could go on
yeah,
for
we
weeks.
We could go on for it. Well, we might have to have her back, hon, to tell others.
Would you
I'm
come
serious.
Back? Could you be a special guest for us?
Yes.
Are you kidding? Yes. I love it.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do a whole series on Hollywood story, like old Hollywood stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She would
yeah.
be perfect.
Because mm-hmm. I've been wanting to do something like this because I have... You know, it's Hollywood myths and legends, and I know which ones are true and which ones aren't.
Right, right. Well, that's the name of your next podcast, or our next podcast.
Thank you.
Yes.
I love it. I love it.
So you're, like I said, you're 84 years old. You are still holding your writing twice a week workshops. Is that what you call them, workshops?
It's the Wimpole Street Workshop, and it's once a week on Zoom.
Once a week on Zoom. When I talked to you, you were on deadline. You were, like, working on something. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm working on a book. I'm working on a variety of things, which drives Rosie, my assistant, absolutely crazy because I lose pages and everything. And I'm working on a collection called Go Find Out.
Okay.
Of articles that I wrote from the beginning of my writing.
Oh, beautiful.
And I've written books. The book about my memory is called Past Forgetting, but I'm writing this book, and it's a collection. It's called Go Find Out. And there's a very raunchy story about why it's called Go Find Out.
Oh.
So maybe we have to save that for the next podcast.
Maybe we'll save it for the next one. And it'll hopefully intrigue people to go and go find out about this book when it comes out.
Yes. Yes, when it comes out. And it will.
Yes. And that is incredible. You are just a delight. Like Scott said, we could listen to you all day.
Thank you. I love it.
I'm sad that our 30 minutes is over, but tell me, I know you're on Instagram, Jill. Are you found anywhere else besides Instagram?
Rosie,
where is she?
Rosie?
We need to know where else we can find Jill.
Okay, she's coming.
All right.
She's coming. I drive her crazy completely. Yeah. She's taking one of my earphones.
Okay. Hi, Rosie.
Hi, Rosie.
So
Hi.
What we need to know are the website address and the socials. Like, where can we find her on social media?
Yeah, so you can find Jill on Instagram at Jill Sherry, J-I-L-S-C-H-A-R-Y.
J-I-L-L.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, J-I-L-L-S-C-H-A-R-Y. And her website is jillsherryrobinson.com. She's also on Facebook, but everything she posts, like her riffs and her new writings, are on
the
site. Website.
Yeah. The website's great.
Yeah. We're trying to keep it as updated as possible and current.
I was very impressed because it seemed very current when I went on. And I just enjoy looking at the bodies of work that are up there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's great. The thing is, the memory thing is still there, so that I will often forget something I've already written.
Right. All right, Jill, we're going to say a very reluctant goodbye. Thank you so much.
Yes, Jill.
I love
this
very much.
Yes.
Bye, Scotty. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Jill. Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, hun, let's not forget our Patreon shout-outs.
Oh, no. We have some really good ones.
Yeah, we got some new ones.
We have some new ones.
Yeah, welcome to the crew.
But first, we have our OG Patreon, Rose Pricks Podcast.
It's still the only way I watch The Bachelor.
So The Bachelor this season has been a wild ride, full of lies, deceptions, and unknowns. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that is. That's a, a good recipe, yeah.
Something. And if you have a love-hate relationship with The Bachelor, then the podcast Rose Pricks is for you.
Uh-huh.
Fellow comedians Angel Laquita Moore and our very own Stephanie Wilder Taylor.
Stephanie.
They dissect the drama, plus have important discussions on race, mental health, and feminism. But most of all, they keep it real. Real funny, that is.
Yep, they do. Hilarious.
New episodes drop Monday night or Tuesday morning if they're too tired.
I love that.
Right? So find them anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And our second one is Storytime Jay.
Storytime Jay, the
or
man.
Or Jason Williams. We love him. And thank you for being our Patreon, Jason. You've always been a big supporter of the show.
Jason does some really cool stuff. Huh?
He does some really cool stuff. And, you know, one of the things, it's hard to describe what he does. But he has a children's YouTube channel, and the way he says it is, I decided to rewrite the narratives of stories that we're familiar with as if I were telling the story in a genuine way with some tongue-in-cheek.
All right, honey. So tell us, who is our next Patreon that we're shouting out today?
We have a new patron in Mercedes Cusick LMFT. So excited about this. She's our friend and a supporter of the show, and we love her family.
Mercedes.
Mercedes. She is a licensed trauma therapist and certified EMDR therapist.
All right. You're going to tell me more about that, right?
Yeah. What that means that she's had advanced training in complex and developmental trauma, and she's doing something pretty incredible. It's called EMDR Intensives.
Hmm.
So this is a concierge curated program that's just for you, anyone who's listening. EMDR intensives range from half a day to several days and are the equivalent of, get this, 2 to 6 months of weekly therapy.
Wow. So what I'm understanding is that these intensives allow you to unpack the past and the pain without having to deal with everyday life stuff like carpools, morning meetings, presentations,
exactly,
stuff like that.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly, hon. Yeah. So Mercedes EMDR intensives allow you to update old narratives about how you get to show up in the world, who you are, and what you deserve.
Right. And these intensive formats, they decrease treatment time and they save you a lot of money in the long run.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. So if you want to start feeling better now, and why wouldn't you, then EMDR intensives are the way to go. And California residents, click the link in our show notes to find the link to Mercy Cusick's website and book your EMDR intensive today.
Yeah, and don't live with the pain of the past traumas any longer than you have to. Mm-hmm. Mercy Cusick, LMFT, licensed trauma therapist, is located in Woodland Hills, California. Her website is www.mercedescusick.com. That's MercedesCusick.com.
Nice spelling, hon.
Thanks, hon. So, who's next?
Yeah, our final shout out of the day is for our friend Kathleen Hahn.
Oh, Kathleen, one of my favorite fans.
She is. And I was just saying that she's like been the official like secret taster of all our recipes before.
I mean, honey, we've been running everything kind of by her as it comes out.
Yes. From the very inception of the podcast to where we are now, she's always been a great fan, a great supporter. I think she wrote one of our first reviews on Apple Podcasts.
She did, didn't she? Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you so much, Kathleen, for joining our Patreon. Shout out to you. And we're going to hear more about Kathleen next month. So stay tuned. Thank you so much for listening. The Only One in the Room is produced by the creative genius that is Scott Slaughter and edited by the uber-talented polymath Christina Barcy and her team at Avon House Productions. Hey, you're still listening? Good. Please subscribe right now while you're thinking about it, quick, before you forget. And be sure to like and leave us a review of the show. Want to connect with some other Only One listeners? Be sure to join our private Only One in the Room Facebook group or check out Patreon on our website for exclusive content that you won't find anywhere else. And do you have an Only One in the Room story that you'd like to share? Please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.